Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Betches Media presents.
A lot of them aren't even pretending to be in charge.
Slow the testing down.
Remove him from office.
No justice, no peace.
Cast a vote that will make you proud.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
Will you shut up, man?
Listen.
Hello, and welcome to the Betches Sup Podcast. I'm Sammy Fishbein.
I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
And for those of you who are just tuning in, the Betches Sup Podcast is your daily rundown of all the crazy shit going on in the news, brought to you by your three funniest friends,
which is us.
Last night was the first and only VP debate between Mike Pence and Kamala Harris, held in Salt Lake City, Utah, and moderated by USA Today's Susan Page. We got to talk. What did you think? I mean, the fly. Okay.
The fly. I know. I was like, where in the outline do I put the fly? It's really funny because last night, like, as it was happening, like, we like went for it at Betches. We had like the whole team on it. It was like full court press and it was awesome. But I was like, I felt like I wasn't paying attention. I kept being like, I feel like I keep missing things because nothing's really happening other than they're like interrupting each other. Mm-hmm. I kept saying like, I'm missing. And then I realized this morning catching up, I'm like, I didn't miss anything. That's all that really happened.
He just droned on and on and on.
I was just getting very frustrated at how much like switching he would do. Like, she would ask him a pointed question and he would be like, I would like to go back to this. I would like to talk about this instead. And like not even attempt to answer something. Like they both did it, like as all politicians do. But I feel like it was literally almost every response that Mike Pence gave was trying to rehash something. And she even in the moderator like wasn't doing a great job of like pushing him on going back to the question and eventually had to be like, your campaign agreed to these rules, both of your campaigns. You need to answer the questions that I am asking you. It was just like all over the place for me with him. It was
I know. It was he definitely, so he interrupted her constantly. I read this morning that in the end, they actually spoke about equally. Pence spoke like a couple more seconds than Kamala Harris. But I think that's because I also saw Susan Page on CNN this morning. I don't think she went to bed. And she was saying that she made an effort towards the end to try to like restore some of Senator Harris's time because of like what was happening.
Pence definitely did it more. She also didn't allow him to take her time. I think that had she not had these I'm speaking moments, you know, Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking, I'm talking, like I will answer your question if you let me answer it.
Yeah.
Had she not been done all those things, maybe the time
would
have equaled out.
That's a great point. That's a great point. Like how much of those minutes were she just asking for time back?
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he, you know, thinking back on Pence and like the few moments that he's really made any sort of mark in this administration, and like what I noticed about him in the debate last night was that he is like, you can see the signs of like the lack, like the power that he has clearly believes he has now. And I guess he does have it because the executive branch has been really like strengthened. And then also like, how dirty he is from being up close to such an unethical administration and having to like look the other way and lie about it for now the past 4 years.
I mean, he
also
is
literally dirty.
Literally dirty.
Also dirty. Yeah.
He did look dirty. That was strange. He like did not look like
he looked unwell.
If someone showed me a picture of him and I didn't know who it was and he was like, do you think this person has coronavirus? I'd probably be like, probably.
Oh my God. Aileen goes to me. She's like, he's so old. I'm like, he's 61, actually. Yeah. He can't even retire. So
he looks so much different than he did before.
Yes.
Like he used to look like a young guy. Now he looks like a guy who's like about to test positive for COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fauci looks younger than him.
Absolutely.
Like energetically.
Yeah. I mean,
and Fauci's like 80 something? 70?
I know we're going to like, I know we're going to like get to the flies and stuff.
We can talk about the fly literally anytime. Do you want to start? Let's start with the fly.
Okay. I was just that was only 2 minutes, right?
Yeah.
It felt like the biggest part of the debate for me. Like, I don't know what it was, like why I felt like it lasted forever, those two minutes.
Did.
I guess But also, like, I was just thinking about, like, his bloody ass eye. He didn't even address it. He didn't even say, like, and pardon my appearance today. I popped a blood vessel earlier this morning. You know what I mean? Like, did he think we couldn't see it?
And like, I think he thought we couldn't see it.
And then, like, I was just thinking the whole time, I was like, if Kamala Harris walked out there with a bloody eye and didn't address it, all everyone would be talking about was her goddamn bloody eye, let alone had a fly landed on her with a bloody eye.
I mean,
it would have been a completely different story.
I'm grateful for the fly because I have not laughed like that hard or that long. And every second it went longer just added to the true comedy of it. It was, I have not laughed like that in months. Like,
I know. Truly. I haven't experienced joy like that for a really long time.
And it was such like wholesome humor. Like, it was just a fly on his head. Like,
he had no idea. It's true.
It's not even like that it's bad. Not brilliant. It's
but I am loving. I am loving because Mike Pence is a man of the Bible. So I'm loving all these interpretations that I'm seeing about how, like, biblically and historically flies represent like the devil, the spawn of Satan, like. It represents evil.
Last night. He looked satanic last night.
Yeah, flies represent evil, and like in the Bible, and he believes in the Bible. So, you know, I wonder what he thinks of that.
I would have loved to be the person who told Kamala Harris afterwards. Like, I don't know if she saw, but let's assume she didn't. She comes off stage and she's like ready to talk about whatever substance interrupting, and like I bet it was like her sister who was like, Kamala, he had a fly on his head. For 2.5 minutes. Anyone's talking about. Like, I just want to know so badly what happened in that moment. I want to know.
Maybe we can ask her one day.
I know. I tagged Mina, her niece, in something this morning, and then she shared it. I wanted to reply in DM so badly, but I was like, maybe one day I'll ask her.
If we can get her on this podcast, like, that is the number one question we need to ask.
Because,
like,
you know, she's delighted by it. And then I imagine Pence, like getting, like, seeing a picture. Like, you know that episode of Sex and the City where Charlotte has, like, the wedding announcement, but she has, like, a Hitler mustache? And she's like, that's not real, right? That's not real. And they're like, Mike, honey. And he's like, Karen, it's not real. Does your paper have it? And then he realizes.
Speaking of Karen Pence, it was a rule that anyone who was not the moderators or the moderator or the candidates had to be wearing a mask. And she came on the stage last night not wearing a mask. Doug Emhoff was wearing a mask. It's like, your husband's the head of the coronavirus task force, and you don't even have the decency to follow the COVID safety rules that we all have to follow because we care about protecting ourselves and each other.
The White House is one of the biggest hotspots for the coronavirus right now. Like, his staff, people who are surrounding him 24/7 have coronavirus. You're not going to wear a fucking mask.
Like, also, our president has a deadly infectious disease and you're next in line. Like, I don't want Mike Pence to be president, but I do think it's better for America and the world that we have like a pretty clean continuity of government. So maybe the most responsible thing he could have done was like self-isolate immediately.
Oh my God, it's so stupid. I don't even know what to say.
It is so idiotic.
My God.
All right. Should we go into some of the substance?
Yeah.
So I would say we were talking about, I know, right? So Kamala Harris's like real strengths for the debate were that she's a competent human being and she has not overseen the mass death of innocent Americans by a preventively large outbreak. So her strongest moment.
Who among us can say that they have?
Literally just like two people. And he didn't even. So Mike Pence's main defense, and they always say this, is like, it could have, if we did nothing, it would have been 2 million people. It's like, okay, so you did one thing and then we all did the rest.
Wait, they didn't do anything.
All they did was have press conferences.
They literally didn't do anything because most of the cases that came to New York were from Europe, not from China. They didn't even actually shut down flights to China. You could still fly to and from China. That was a lie. It is not accurate that they did that. And also, like, the only people who did anything are the governors of Democratic states that decided that they were going to put in a mask mandate, that they were going to do lockdowns, that they were going to close schools or places of work. Those are the only people who did anything. If you remember, the administration was busy making sure that nobody could get their hands on a ventilator.
So on the topic of the Trump administration's coronavirus failures, Kamala Harris did talk about the downplaying and how they did virtually nothing. And she spoke like directly to the American people. So I want to play a clip where she does that and talks about the emphasis then. And this clip also, honestly, it was hard to find a clip that wasn't like peppered throughout with Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking. So let's listen.
The vice president is the head of the task force and knew on January 28th how serious this was. And then thanks to Bob Woodward, we learned that they knew about it. And then when that was exposed, the vice president said, when asked, well, why didn't y'all tell anybody? He said, because the president wanted people to remain calm.
Well, let's get
so back. No, but Susan, this is important. Susan, I want to add, but if, Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking.
I have to
I'm speaking.
In.
You can so have 15 seconds, and then we'll give the Vice President a chance to
so
respond.
So I want to ask the American people, how calm were you when you were panicked about where you're going to get your next roll of toilet paper? How calm were you when your kids were sent home from school and you didn't know when they could go back? How calm
Thank
were you,
you
when
you,
your
Senator
children
Harris.
Couldn't see your parents because you were afraid they could kill them?
Rudolph. I don't think he answered.
Yeah, that was a very powerful, good line of attack. Because, you know, it's it that we if had we not had those Bob Woodward tapes, you know, like maybe it wouldn't be as powerful. But if you played that clip next to Trump talking about how deadly the virus was and when he said how deadly it was before, you know, like that people remember that. People know how their life like. Coronavirus has affected every single person in this country, in this world at this point. Mm-hmm. And so it relates to everyone.
It's true. It's like, I think she said last night at this point, you know, when you have 210,000 people dead, that is millions of people affected.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, they don't care. They're negligent. They're incompetent. I there's no answer for it. Like the fact that the bar was set so high for her and literally down in the plasma core of the earth for him. Like there was no, like
let's
that's
talk
why,
about that. Cause some people are calling this a draw.
Yes. I've seen, right. Exactly. People are calling it a draw, but that's only because of expectations because people are used to seeing Kamala in these like 1 minute short form clips where she prepares like a 5 minute questioning for Brett Kavanaugh or William Barr. But this is an hour and a half long debate. Mike Pence used to do conservative talk radio. Like he knows how to like give a long-winded answer when you have a 2 minute window.
The also mm-hmm. the amount of missteps that she could have compares nothing to what Mike Pence, you know, like she had to walk the tightest, thinnest tightrope available. Right. There is no harder, you know. Like, you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, no, it's like we take for granted that she does it. It appears effortless, but it's so hard and it's so strategic what she has to do and mm-hmm. the minds she has to avoid. And she did every step of the way. And it's like I'm sure some people on the internet are calling her angry, but she didn't display anything like that. I mean, this is like any claim of that would be tinged anyway. But like that has to be in the back of her head all the time while this man is like, she has to sit there and smile while she's saying, Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking. And that does end up having a much bigger impact.
And then people are like, she's smirking. Look at her smirking.
Duh.
Why she's making faces. Megyn Kelly was like, don't make faces.
What
like,
the fuck? It's so, it's wild how blatant the sexism is. It's insane.
Megyn Kelly
racism,
is the epitome
sexism.
Of internalized misogyny. Like it is...
Oh, 1,000%. 1,000%.
Yeah. I mean, literally, I'm sure the number one thing on her mind was like, don't fulfill the angry black woman stereotype. And it's a debate. So like it a little bit of righteous anger is sometimes called for. But like there's no room for that in like mm-hmm. this type of conversation.
Yeah. Well, also, I feel like so both candidates were a little bit evasive. Definitely Pence. More, I think everybody agreed because he like would just like you would ask him a question, he would start answering a completely different one where Kamala would evade giving a direct answer. But I think that people maybe don't realize that's always the vice president or nominee's job. Like they say what the campaign needs them to say. And Pence has always been so good at that. And Kamala clearly is like game for that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, when it came to the question of the Supreme Court, there was this question of like, what I thought was weird is that Pence didn't like brag about how they were going to try to overturn Roe. Instead, he was like, we're not sure how she's going to vote on abortion. But it's like, okay, well, if you get to evade about abortion, then why can't the Democrats evade about packing the courts? Like, can't we get a we'll see? You won't even say that you're going to have a peaceful transfer of power without a we'll see. Yet we can't, you're not even agree to like the number one norm that has allowed this country to exist. And you want them to commit to not packing the courts after you stole Merrick Garland's seat, Brett Kavanaugh's a questionable man, and now you're going to steal RBG's seat.
It's also bullshit. We know how she's going to vote if it comes up.
She has
explicitly said it before.
She's a handmaid. You know? Okay.
Oh, of course. Right. She said it before. We already know. Yeah, we'll get in. They're going to do her hearings next week and we can get into all of the stuff that she's even hidden. So let's talk about. So Kamala Harris did evade questions about whether a Biden administration would promote packing the court, which we in this household call balancing the court.
This is the household. This podcast
this is the household. We don't say packing. We say balancing. Although Kamala did have a good retort where she was like, okay, you want to talk about packing the courts? And then she went in to explain that, you know, the Senate minority has packed the federal bench. But let's listen to one of the exchanges where she sort of doesn't give a direct answer about how a Biden Harris administration would handle the Supreme Court.
And Senator Harris, people, Susan, are voting right now. They'd like to know if you and Joe Biden are going to pack the Supreme Court if you don't get your way in this nomination.
Let's talk about packing.
You once Come again on. Gave a non-answer. Joe Biden gave a non-answer.
Trying to answer you
the
now.
The American people deserve a straight answer. And if you haven't figured it out yet, the straight answer is they are going to pack the Supreme Court if they somehow win this election. Men and women, I got to tell you, people across this country, if you cherish our Supreme Court, if you cherish the separation of powers, you need to reject the Biden-Harris ticket. Come November the 3rd, reelect President Donald Trump, and we'll stand by that separation of powers in a 9-seat Supreme Court.
Yeah, let's talk about packing the court then. Let's talk about the
Please.
Fact. Yeah, I'm about to. So the Trump-Pence administration has been, because I sit on the Senate Judiciary Committee, Susan, as you mentioned, and I've witnessed the appointments for lifetime appointments to the federal courts, district courts, courts of appeal. People who are purely ideological, people who have been reviewed by legal professional organizations and found to have been not competent, are substandard. And do you know that of the 50 people who President Trump appointed to the Court of Appeals for lifetime appointments, not one is black?
So I thought that was like a very skillful way to deflect versus Mike Pence.
When you say it was really skillful, that was kind of that was also my reaction. But I worry that it was a little bit high minded. Don't. And most Americans have no clue how the federal bench appointments work. If you're not like really like in on that type of information, like I just don't see most people like understanding why that was an answer to that.
Yes, I agree. But however, I think people can understand that not electing or appointing a black judge is not good. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, well, I think they may not deduce that part, but they can deduce that part.
Right.
Yeah.
The people that we want to vote for the Democratic ticket can deduce, like,
yes.
The cult still is like, great. That's what we want.
Right. As she was saying this, what I was thinking is that, like, if packing the court wasn't shorthand for adding seats to the Supreme Court, it didn't have that meaning, then Mitch McConnell would be making ads all the time saying, I'm Mitch McConnell and I'm going to pack the court, because that's what he does. That's what all of his ads are about, how much he has let his like very minority opinion, conservative ideals like penetrate the federal bench for a generation. But I think, yeah, it was skillful because she was asked a question and she gave an answer that related to the question. For contrast, let's listen to how Mike Pence answered a question about whether he would support banning abortion or Roe v. Wade overturned.
Pence, you're the former governor of Indiana. If Roe v. Wade is overturned, what would you want Indiana to do? Would you want your home state to ban all abortions? You have 2 minutes, uninterrupted.
Well, thank you for the question, but I'll use a little bit of my time to respond to that very important issue before. The American people deserve to know. Qasem Soleimani, the Iranian general, was responsible for the death of hundreds of American service members. When the opportunity came, we saw him headed to Baghdad to kill more Americans. President Trump didn't hesitate. And Qasem Soleimani is gone.
What?
Right. It's literally nothing to do with it.
It's like they pressed the wrong button on him to respond.
It's like Ashley Simpson at SNL when they play the wrong song, and he just like did a little. He just did a little jig.
Right.
And they're like, okay. Like I think I remember that part because I was so confused because I think I was like looking at my phone or something, and then I came back and I was like, wait, what is he talking about?
That's why all last night I thought I was like misinterpreting what was happening during the debate because it just was all over the place. It didn't make any sense and just was like on like a, it was like on like a 20-minute loop where it was like they're fighting, it's COVID, it's SCOTUS, fighting COVID, SCOTUS, and for 90 minutes. I could have really used a break last night.
I know. Yeah. Well, that's the other thing that like they could not escape how badly they fucked up the coronavirus thing this the entire night, because even when in relation to talking about CODIS, we're talking or CODIS, SCOTUS. sorry. And I like just made myself laugh. Really stupidly.
We're all delirious today.
Yeah. Like they even brought up like, do you regret how you handled that confirmation like announcement or whatever, you know? And they don't. Like, you see these people all sitting together, like shaking hands, and he's like, it was an outside ceremony. The whole thing wasn't outside. There's plenty of pictures of you all standing inside without masks.
He just didn't get invited to any of the indoor parties afterwards.
Yeah. They just look like there's just no way to put it, but they look like irresponsible. And the other thing is like, no one else can't not wear a mask. Like when they just don't wear a mask, exactly. They look elitist and they look, you know, negligent. And I just don't they are just so stupid.
Well, yeah. I think we just so have stupid. To like really hope and message to the American people that this is the case, because I think people are smart enough to figure out, like, I'm locked in my house. I lost my job. I'm expected to wear a mask at work all day. Why aren't they? And like, that is like such an easy, it's like almost impossible not to have that thought.
We all dread the what should we have for dinner question. I know I do. I love a home-cooked meal, but I don't always have the time, energy, or groceries to make it happen. Being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, so I can spend less time trying to be top chef and more time watching it. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, or quick microwave meals that assemble in minutes, Home Chef has you covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you never have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life. And of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/feverdream. That's homechef.com/feverdream for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. Homechef.com/feverdream. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
We should talk a little bit about what's going on with Trump, but do we have any closing debate thoughts?
I don't think anyone's going to be talking about it. I don't think it will change anything. And I think the only thing anyone will remember is the fly.
I think so too. I also think that the only thing that it did is boost Kamala Harris's future political career. More
Agreed.
People have been tuned into her more than ever and saw that she looked like she deserved to be she's supposed to be there. Not deserved, she's supposed to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
More than him, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean Pence is also trying to build a political career post Trump, and I don't know how he's gonna be able to do that with he's supposed to be an evangelical but he's defending like Pete Buttigieg said, you know, like he's defending Donald Trump. How do you defend that and be a man of faith like he is supposed to be?
Right. He is too stupid to go anywhere after.
Also,
this.
He did nothing to help the bleeding that they're having his campaign with the suburban women. Not one thing.
No,
oh, and you I mean I like looking was... like a scary dead person yeah. doesn't.
And I was like, where are you going with bleeding?
With suburban mom. Yeah.
It is really funny when suddenly everybody around us is in this world and starts paying attention and you see what people notice. And everybody last night was like, does he always look like yes. that?
Yeah. Yes. I don't think he did. I don't think he looked like that in 2016, no. which is why I started by saying that he looks like he has had his soul sucked out.
No wonder when he wouldn't answer the question when it was like, what do you have to say about the fact that Trump will be the oldest president ever? And like, you're the young, sprightly one. And he's like, well, why don't we talk about taxes?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't threaten the boss.
No, of course not. Speaking of faith and gifts from God, Trump last night said, he posted another one of his unhinged videos. Suddenly he has like aged 7 years, but he said that getting COVID was a gift from God. He called it a blessing. He took credit for the decision to give himself antibody therapy and saying he would give this drug to every American free of charge. It's only been given to about 300 people. He also appeared this morning to blame Gold Star families for coming too close to him at an event a day before the party for Amy Coney Barrett. This sort of seems like he's trying to deflect from that event. But the quote is, they all came in and they all talked about their son and daughter and father. They tell me these stories and I can't say back up, stand 10 feet away. You know, I just can't do it. And then he goes on to say, they keep kissing me. They want to hug me. They won't leave me alone. You can't say no to them.
So to say that he wasn't the super spreader at Amy Coney Barrett's event on Sunday, he alleges that he caught it from people on Saturday.
Yes.
Okay. Does he know how weeks the sequence of the week? I don't.
Also,
we're never gonna know.
You have people who will do that. You don't have to be the person to tell them to back up. You know what I mean?
Like you have a bodyguard. Yeah. Like you have them.
Literally 24/7, maybe like 10 to 15 people around you who could do that.
Yeah. Also, there's no way that they were allowed that close to him. Whatever.
No, I don't. There's no way they wanted to be that close to him. He's a maskless creep. Like,
how often do you think he showers?
Oh my God, never. I can't.
Do you think he just cakes on foundation? Do you think he washes his face?
I can't
night?
See him taking the makeup off.
I don't think washes his. He looked this week like a butt. Like when he doesn't have his makeup on, he has no protrude. Like his features don't protrude at all. Like some You're people so have weak right. chins or weak noses, or they don't have like prominent cheekbones, but his entire face is flat like a butt. It just looks like...
But he also
very mature political analysis on the Bench of Sub podcast.
I wish you could see how tickled Amanda is right now. Everyone listening.
It's so funny, but the video that he put out where he was like the gift to God, his contour was so bad, so intense, but only on one cheek.
The makeup was out of control last night.
It was out of control.
They don't know what they're doing with the makeup.
You know, I just imagine a person like you, like when you're spray painting something and she just has orange spray paint and the spray paint mask and she's just like, shh.
And it looks like he's getting spray painted, but he has gloves on. And so they get everything but his gloves, and then he takes the gloves off.
His hands are always in the frame.
Because he talks so much with his hands, so you see his hands next to his face.
He plays the accordion. Like,
yes, yes. And you're like, what? Like, you really need to match the foundation if you're going to talk with your hands that much.
I mean, I think that's a real reason why he doesn't wear a mask, is that he doesn't want to, like, mess up his makeup or let us know. If he's under some delusion, we don't know. He wears makeup. He wears more makeup than Kamala Harris.
Oh, for sure. Yes. Wait, can I just bring something up about his Regeneron Miracle Cocktail? That is made out of embryonic stem cells. And we all know how embryonic stem cells are obtained, Michael Pence. So.
Yeah, he also was saying.
I wonder how he feels about that.
Yeah, he was like, I'm going to give everyone Regeneron. That's the name of the company, not the name of the.
Right, I know. He's like, anything that helps our stock price.
It's wild. But he had already been, it was already so cruel to say, don't be afraid. Don't let it dominate your life. That was the most politically inept thing. And then he went a step further to say, me getting COVID was a blessing from God. It's over. I mean,
well, I don't post polls. He should probably get 2 negative tests before he makes that assumption.
He also just said that they are done with the stimulus talks. I am holding you hostage until after the election.
He literally just tweeted that.
He's changed his mind 65 times.
Oh, yeah.
And he changed his mind 100 times about that.
He changed his mind 100 times, yeah.
I mean, I guess it's only been, 24 hours, but the American people, Republicans included, they want COVID relief much more than they want a new Supreme Court justice.
100%. 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't politically useful when he said, "I'm stopping stimulus and instead instructing Senate Republicans to do a COVID relief." He also, I don't know. I wonder if last night was the last debate. Next week's, the commission announced this morning, is supposed to be virtual. And then Trump said he won't go if it's virtual. Biden said he will. TBD. What do we think?
I don't know. He wants to have a rally instead. Sure. I don't know.
An in-person rat. This is insane.
I don't know.
He wants to...
He's going into the Oval Office. Who's going to go? People will, though, which is terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, they have to. It's their job.
Every single place he's had a rally, yes. Every single place he's had a rally. They've seen spikes.
He's walking Sturgis.
It's like Darwinian at this point. It's like survival of the fittest. If you decide to go out to a Trump rally, evolution might have its way with you. How we're weeding out the week.
Yeah.
I know.
Okay, let's close out. Brian, what is tomorrow's Do You Know Who My Dad Is episode about?
Yes, I'm very, very excited for tomorrow's episode. I think it's my favorite one that we've done so far. Yay. It is about media, and it is about the Murdochs and the Ochs-Sulzberger family. Mm-hmm. So the Murdochs is like Fox Corporation. If you are a fan of the show Succession, it is loosely based off of this family. But we have the real story, and then Ochs-Sulzbergers, I had no idea before this that the New York Times has been basically run by the same family for over a century. And so we go into both of those families and their scandals and all the fun stuff. So make sure you listen. Exciting. It's my favorite. It's so good. It's a really good one.
That's like the perfect thing to listen to over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
After a mad week of madness.
I'm excited. All right. Until the return of democracy, I'm Sammy Fishbein.
I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
And this has been the Betches Sup Podcast.
The Betches Sup Podcast is produced by Sean Kilby and Amanda Duberman. Our podcast managers are Mike Coscarelli and Sean Kilby. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Artwork by Brittany Levine. Be sure to follow us at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send your emails to sup@betches.com.
Betches.